Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Micah chapter 7. Micah is an Old Testament prophet near the end of the Old Testament. I know it's not that often that you hear of a sermon coming out of Micah, but that's where we're going to be this morning, in Micah chapter 7. And so, as we begin this morning, we have all been hurt by people. Now, there are times when people hurt us on purpose. And there are times that people hurt us and they don't even know they hurt us. There are people that we call our enemies, for it seems as though they live to make our lives miserable. And we often allow them to get the best of us. What is even harder to deal with is when the people who hurt us the most are the people that are closest to us. People from our own family. There are times when our pain comes from our family, our friends, and even the church. As long as people are involved, there will always be pain. This is a part of our fallen human nature. Since we know that pain will come from the inside and the outside, since we know that pain is going to come from our friends and our family and even the church, since we know that pain is going to come from our enemies, what do? We look to the Lord and we put our hope and our faith in Him. Today we're going to look at a powerful passage that is set in a troubling time for the people of Israel, as the prophet Micah shares the need for the people to put their hope and faith in the one true God of Israel. And the Word of God reads starting in verse 5. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Until He pleads my case and executes justice for me, He will bring me forth to the light. I will see His righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this incredible and beautiful power of script passage, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would encourage us today. Lord, I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take control. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. I've entitled this message, Do Not Let Others Bring You Down. Because often we give other people, we give the people around us so much power over us. We let them tear us down. We let them destroy us. We let them steal our joy. And so we're going to look at two things today. We're going to look at the fact that pain comes from the inside. And we're also going to look at the fact that pain comes from the outside. And as we begin, we see this concept, we see this fact that often pain comes from within. As Micah is doing his prophecy during a troubling time for the people of Israel, with the fact that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, he says, don't trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. And so verses 5 through 6 helps us to see the status of the people. Things have gotten so bad for the people that they cannot even trust friends and family. The people of Israel were supposed to be there for each other. They were supposed to take care of each other. This was the whole purpose of the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament, was so that the people would take care of one another. There were specific laws, such as you weren't allowed to charge interest to your own Israelite brothers and sisters. If you were to borrow a cloak, you had to give it back before night so the person didn't freeze to death. There were rules and laws and regulations that were put in place because the people of Israel were supposed to take care of the people of Israel. But things have gotten so bad, they can't even trust their own family. Things are so bad that we see son against dad, daughter against mom, in-laws versus in-laws. It has just gotten bad. And as we look at verse 5, we see the progression. Don't trust a friend. Don't trust a companion. And then don't tell secrets to your spouse. That's what the text is saying. It's gotten so bad that you can't even trust your spouse. The one person that you should be able to trust more than anyone is your spouse. But things have gotten so bad that Micah's like, don't even tell secrets to your spouse. And if we look at the first 6 verses, we really see how bad it's gotten. I mean, chapter 7 starts out with, woe is me. Listen to this. This is pretty sad. Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. Listen to this. This is really sad. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. Really paints a picture of how bad things have gotten for the people of Israel. But God is still God. As we stop and look at our world today, do we not see broken families all around us? Do we not see pain and struggle and turmoil that comes within families? There are family members that only care about themselves. Amen. You only hear from them when they want something. There are family members that decide not to be family members anymore. This happens through divorce, and this also happens through disowning. You know, sometimes a family member will disown somebody. There are family members who turn their back on us and tell our secrets in order to make them look better. Sadly, these same truths apply to the church because the church is supposed to be a family. There are people in the church that only care about power. They only care about themselves.
Amen.
There are people who leave the church for no reason, just because their feelings were hurt. And there are people in the church that tell others secrets. You know, sometimes you go to a person and you tell them something in confidence, and the next thing you know, everybody knows. So the concept of broken families does not just show up in our families, but it also shows up in the church because a church is a family. And as we see what Micah is dealing with, we can see again that not much has changed, has it? The things that Micah was dealing with as he prophesied are things that we still deal with today. And so it reminds us the power and the beauty of the Bible. The truth that we read in the Bible, the truth that we read in God's Word is just as powerful us today. And since Micah was dealing with problems that we deal with, the answer that he gives is the answer that we need to hear today as well. And so what do we do? What do we do when we have family members who only care about themselves, who take advantage of us constantly? What do we do when family members get up and leave for no good reason? What do we do when family members tell our secrets to make themselves look better? And what do we do when these things happen in the church? The answer is simple. We look to the Lord. We look to our incredible, awesome God, as Micah says, therefore. Again, anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to ask yourself, what is the therefore there for? It connects the previous section. Because of the problem between families, because of the status of Israel, because of everything that is going on, Micah says, therefore I will look to the Lord. We are to look to the Lord. We are to wait for Him. We are to know that He hears us. This passage helps us to see that we can have hope even when things look bad. Even when family can't be trusted, yet I hope in God. This is what we call thinking positively, being optimistic. Even when things are bad, God is good. Even when we cannot trust family, we can trust God. We can always trust God, even when we can't trust those close to us. In this one verse, Micah gives to us three truths that bring us hope. Under the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Holy God, Micah is given this beautiful, powerful message. And in this one verse, not only does he give to the people of Israel hope, but he gives you and I hope today as well. He says, first, look to the Lord. One translation translates it as, but I will keep watching for the Lord. The word that's used here means to keep a watch out. It's like, the way it means, it's like you're expecting someone to come visit and you're sitting there, you keep looking out the window watching for them because you know they're coming and you're excited and you can't wait for them to show up. That's what it means to look to the Lord. Amen. It means you know he's coming and you're watching out the window for him. We need to always know that God is coming for us. We can trust that he will never betray us. There is a need for us to look to the Lord at all times in our lives, when it's good and when it's bad. And so Micah says, look to the Lord. He says, wait for God. Wait is a word that we don't like to hear. We really don't like that word, wait. The word used here for wait also has a sense of hope. It is that waiting expectantly. Again, it ties in with that look that you know somebody's coming and you're so excited and you're just waiting for them to get here. You're waiting, you're looking and you're waiting and it's just exciting because you know. You just know they're almost here. You know they're coming. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. Our hope is to be in our God, not in our family. Family is a good thing. Don't get me wrong, but they will let us down. God will not. And if those two truths aren't powerful enough this morning, he also says, my God will hear me. God always hears the cry of his people. There are times when we feel as though no one cares about us. There are times when we're like, nobody understands, nobody cares, we don't matter, we're not important. That ain't true because God loves us. And even when you feel like nobody cares, God cares. When you feel like nobody's in your corner, God's in your corner. When you feel like you're all alone, God is there. Sometimes when talking to people, we can feel as though we're talking to a wall. You ever felt that way when you're talking to someone? Like, I might as well just go talk to this wall because it would get me just about as far. We never have that problem with God. When we go to God with anything, we can go to him with anything and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he hears us. It is a great comfort knowing this awesome truth. When you and I cry out to God, he hears and he is the one that we answer to. In the midst of a very difficult time, when the people cannot even trust those closest to them, we see the incredible hope that comes to us from our great and awesome God. Hope in God. And so today, I want to challenge each of us. I want to challenge us to look to the Lord. I want to challenge us to wait for him. I want to challenge us to know that he hears us. I want you to know this morning that God hears your prayers. And again, God will answer our prayers always. It's just one of three ways, yes, no, or wait. When we cry out to God, sometimes God will say yes. All right. Sometimes God will say no, but when God says no, it's because he's got something better. And I look back over my life and some of the things that I've prayed for, I'm grateful that God's answer was no, because what he did have in store was better than anything that I could ever imagined or think about. And then there are times when God, when we pray to God and God says, wait, just wait a little bit longer. It's not time yet. And so he hears our prayers. Every prayer that you and I make as a child of God, he hears. It goes directly to him. There's no press one, press two. There's no chat box for quicker service. It goes directly to God. God knows your prayers. Also, I want you to know that God knows your hurts. No matter what pain you're feeling today, God knows your hurts. He knows the pain that you feel. He knows the dynamics of your friends and family. He knows those that hurt you. He understands. So look to Him and He will help. Wait for Him, for He is coming for His people. As we know all too well, pain does not just come from those close to us, but it also comes from the world around us. You see, not only do we get hurt by people close, but we get hurt by people that sometimes we don't even know. Micah says, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy," as we see in verse 8. Enemies will come. The world wants to see us fail as Christians. There are those who would love to see the doors of this church and other churches close and be no more. There are those that have an agenda to see churches all across America shut down. There are those that are trying to censor what preachers are preaching and teaching. People want to see Christians fail. They want to see churches fail. There are people out there that would love to ruin our testimony and destroy our character, and so they attack us. And sometimes they tell lies about us. Sometimes they do everything they can to tear down the people of God. As so... When we fall, when we mess up, they pounce on us like a wounded animal. It's like you got a wounded animal and you got this predator out there. It sees a wounded animal, it jumps on them. That's how the world attacks Christians. As soon as we mess up, as soon as we make a mistake, as soon as we fail, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? And so we have enemies that rejoice over us. There's a reason Micah is saying, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy." They want to see us fall. They want to see us fail. Even so, when we as Christians fall, we arise in Jesus.
Amen.
When we fall, we are restored in Jesus. When we are in darkness, Jesus is our light. I love this. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. My dear brothers and sisters, we're humans. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to fail. And when we do, the world is going to jump us. But praise be to God, we don't answer to the world. We answer to God.
Amen.
It really helps us to see the trust that we can have in God no matter what is going on. Sometimes we face very difficult times in our lives, and it can be hard to look on the bright side, for all we see is darkness. No, let's be honest, there are times when we're like, how can anything good come out of this? But God is always good. As we see here, even in darkness, Jesus is our light. Even when we fall, even when we fail, we have hope. People can give us all kinds of problems, can't they? I've often heard someone say, "Well, I can't do that job because I don't like people." You know, people cause, no matter where you work, no matter what job you have, if people are involved, you're going to have problems. Because where people are, there will always be problems. The problem for us is we spend so much time trying to please them and getting their approval that often we miss out on the blessings of God. We spend so much time trying to get everybody to like us. And we try so hard, and it's like, it's not possible for everybody to like us. Instead of working so hard to keep people who don't even like us happy, we should be working hard to live for God. People like to take all that we do and judge us based on it. People like to look at how we fall, how we mess up, and judge us. But I want you to know this morning that God is our judge. They are not the ones who judge us. God is our judge. Verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I will see his righteousness. Micah notices that sin has taken place. Micah does not try to sweep the sin of the people under the rug. He doesn't say we don't deserve the punishment that we're getting. He doesn't say that all this problems is not our fault. He acknowledges the sin of the people. And he acknowledges, more importantly, that it was not against other people that they had sinned, but against holy God that they had sinned. The reason for many of the people's problem was their own sin. And just like them, we know that we sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we do need to see our own sin. And we need to own up to our own sin. We need to take responsibility for our actions. What this world needs is for men and women to step up and be responsible for their own actions. And so Micah, in this prayer, he steps up on behalf of the people of Israel, and he is responsible for their actions because he says, I have sinned against him. We have sinned against holy God. We need to see the mistakes that we've made in life and own them. And there's not one single one of us that has not made a mistake. There's not one of us that has not messed up in some way. I've got more mistakes than I could probably say in a few moments. It might take a couple days. But we do need to understand this. Yes, we sin. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we mess up. But we need to understand that God is the one who judges our sins and not people. We need to understand that God is the one that we answer to. God will deal with our sin and he will bring us out and restore us. We have hope in God even when we fall short. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Yes, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God in his love for us sent Jesus to die for us. Because we have sinned, because we have fallen, because we have messed up, because we make mistakes, God sent Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross, who shed his precious blood to offer you and I hope and peace and freedom. God loves us so much that he refuses to let us stay in our sin. So when we fall, it's not people we've sinned against, but God. And so he's the one that we answer to. We have to deal with the judgment that he gives us. And at times, God's judgments do come on this earth. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he lost a son. He was kicked out of his own kingdom. He lost another son. All because of his sin with Bathsheba, yet David would be restored by God. The people were taken into captivity because of their sins, but God would bring the people back into the promised land. He would restore them. When we mess up and cry out to God, God restores his people. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Our God does not leave his people in sin. When his people acknowledge that sin and cry out to him in faith and repentance. What we see here is we see Micah repenting. I have sinned. God will plead my case. God will execute justice. Our hope is not in our ability to deal with our enemies or our own sin. Our hope is in our God who will bring us to himself to be judged. Man's judgment does not matter if it does not line up with the Word of God. How much time do you and I invest in people's judgment towards us? How much sleep do we lose because of what someone has said to us? How much sleep and anxiety and fear and doubt do we have because of the way our family interacts with us? And the issues and the problems that come from with our family or from our enemies? How many sleepless nights have we had because of people? People are not our judge. God is. And our focus should be to be right with holy God. We need to wait on Him to hear our case. People judge us all the time. And often their judgment's not fair, is it? How often have you been judged unfairly? How often have you been judged before having all the facts? How often have people said things about you and talked about you and made assumptions without having the entire story? And they have made a judgment. I want to tell you right now, God has all the facts. So people's judgment is not always right, but God's is. God's is pure. God's is holy. The Lord does punish us for our sins, but He also gives us mercy. How much mercy do we usually get from people who judge us? Very little. But how much mercy do we get from God? A lot. He brings us out of our sin, and as His children, we will one day get heaven. We all fall at times, and when we do, we need to get up. When I fall, I shall arise. When we fall, we need to admit our mistakes. We need to seek forgiveness from God, and we need to do the next right thing. When we sin, when we mess up, when we make a mistake, we can't change that. We can't go, as far as I know, time travel has not been invented yet. So we cannot go back in time and fix the mistake that we've made. All we can do is apologize and do the next right thing. Do the next thing that is good and right. And God will bring us out of the darkness and into the light. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. I fear no one. The Lord protects my life. I'm afraid of no one." Don't let people get you down, because Jesus is our light. Amen. In Him, we place all our hope. People will always hurt people. There are certain lessons that I will never forget from my church administration class, and one of the things the professor said was, hurting people hurt people. When people are hurting, they naturally hurt people. And sometimes they don't do it on purpose. It just happens that way. People will always hurt people, but God will not. People will betray us, hurt us, and do all kinds of things to us, but God will not. No matter how bad things may get, God is still in control, and we need to look to Him, wait for Him. He will come for His own, and we will see His righteousness. The people would be taken into captivity. The city of Jerusalem would be restored, but Jerusalem would not be lost forever. God would restore them. God would bring the people back to Jerusalem. And one day in the future, God is bringing New Jerusalem, which is complete and total, perfect restoration for the people of God. People really do try to bring us down, and often we let them. So the next time somebody is trying to tear you down, the next time somebody is trying to make you look bad, the next time somebody is trying to judge you for something that you did, look to the Lord. As the saying goes, next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. We need to watch for the Lord. We need to wait for the Lord. And we need to know that He will hear us and deal with those who seek to bring us down when we are seeking to live our lives for Jesus. In the end, God will bring His children into the light. In this truth, you and I have hope. We will mess up. Enemies will look down on us and judge us when we mess up. But we answer to the Lord, and our sins have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Every sin that you and I have committed has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And sadly, we don't forgive like God forgives, but we're supposed to. How often do we hold somebody's past against them? You can't do this because of your past. God has forgiven. Today, I want to encourage you that when people let you down, not if, when people let you down, you still have hope in God. I want to encourage you that if you feel alone, God is with you and God loves you. I want to encourage you that if you feel like you're under punishment, that God will bring you out and into the light. I want to encourage you that the judgment that people are passing on you will not stick. Only the judgment of God will. I want to encourage you that whatever you're dealing with, God will plead your case, execute justice, and bring you into the light. As children of God, we will see His righteousness. We will behold His glory. What is God saying to you today? Maybe you're here today and you feel internal attacks. Maybe you feel like your family's in shambles or nobody cares or whatever it may be. Look to the Lord. Wait for Him. He hears your prayers. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're being attacked from external. It could be people that you work with. It could be people that you see out in public. It could be anyone. But you feel like you're under attack. Look to the Lord. Wait for Him. He hears our prayers. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Until He pleads my case and executes justice for me, He will bring me forth to the light. I will see His righteousness. Awesome, Father, Lord. We thank You so much for the incredible beauty in Your Word. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would see today that our sins do matter and that we do need to seek forgiveness for our sins, that it is our sins that sent Jesus to die on the cross. And Lord, I don't want to in any way, shape, or form downplay our sin because our sin is wrong. And we need to take ownership of our sin. We need to admit our sin. We need to take responsibility for our sin. But we also need to see the mercy of God. We need to see the grace that You have when we cry out to You in forgiveness, the restoration that You give to Your people. We need to understand, God, that it is You that we have sinned against and that You are our judge. And Lord, I pray today that when we fall, we will rise. That when we sit in darkness, we will see Jesus as our light. Lord, I pray that You would plead our case, that You would execute justice, and that You would bring us forth into the light. Lord, I pray today that each and every one of us would look to the Lord, that we would wait for the God of our salvation, and that we would know that You, God, hear our prayers. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know You, I pray that today they would come. They would surrender their heart and their life to Jesus. That they would say, I need Jesus. I need this hope. I need this assurance. Because this restoration that we've talked about today is only for those who know Jesus. For those who do not know Jesus, there is only one judgment, and that judgment is hell. And that is a harsh reality, but it is a true reality. So Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, I pray today would be the day that they say yes to Jesus. And Lord, I do want to pray for each and every person here today. Lord, whatever is going on in their hearts, in their lives, in their families, I want to pray that each and every one of us would look to you. I pray that we'd understand that family does let us down. Friends let us down. And even the church will let us down. Enemies will attack us. But you are our God. And you are with us. And you will never leave us, forsake us, or let us down. And in you we have hope. We thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.